You're listening to The Journey Podcast. The Journey is a ministry of Southcrest Baptist Church for those in college or college-aged. We hope this podcast helps you find your greatest pleasure and purpose in Jesus.
Glad you are here. Man, it feels like it's been forever since I've been up here. The past 3 weeks, you know, we've had some awesome teaching, and I've been it's been really good for me just to kind of sit there with you guys and just kind of learn from different voices, and so that's been awesome. Not gonna lie, I've missed being up here and missed talking to you guys, and so I'm excited for tonight. We're gonna jump right into it. So obviously, we are starting a brand new series tonight that's gonna continue after spring break, for the following 2 weeks after spring break. And tonight, we're going to talk about, man, our favorite subject, right? Singleness. Okay? Yeah. I know that there's some budding romances in here. And I want to think that I played a part in some of that, but probably not. But for all intents and purposes, okay, here's how we're going to kind of define singleness. If you are not married, okay, you are single, right? Now, granted, there's some of you in here may be engaged, okay, Sam? Way to go, buddy. For all intents and purposes, everyone in here, if you are not married, you are single. And here's kind of what we're going to do. So we titled it the Relationship Series. You're like, wow. Very creative with that. Way to go. It gets straight to the point, okay? I want you to know, like, when you come in here, like, this is what we're going to talk about. There's no like, secrecy. We're going to talk about relationships, and we're going to do it in kind of a progressive order. So tonight, we're going to talk about singleness. After spring break, we're going to jump into dating. And then after dating, we're going to talk about marriage and sex. And that'll probably be our highest attended one, right? Like, we're all going to be excited about that. But hey, tonight we're going to jump into it, and we're going to talk about singleness. And here's the thing. Here's kind of what I know about this series. For the majority of my ministry career, okay, I've dealt with, like, your life stage. Like, you've been the focus that I've, like, loved and enjoyed being around. And as cliche as it is to go, hey, let's talk about relationships, the one thing that I know is that this is probably going to be one of the most important series that we do in your time here in Lubbock, okay? In your time here in The Journey, in your time here on the campus of Texas Tech or LCU or South Plains, like, this is gonna be one of the most important series that we cover, because here's the thing. If you don't get this right, the ramifications, the things that follow, if you don't get this right, are gonna just reverberate throughout your lifetime. They're going to show up over and over and over again throughout your life. And so, as cliche as it sounds, man, this is going to be one of the most important things that we cover while you're here in Lubbock, whether it's the next 4 to 5 years or, like, you've got a semester left, okay? This is going to be one of those things. Now, I want to start, man. There was a picture that I tried to find leading up to tonight. I looked all over my house for it. Could not find it. I called my parents. I was like, hey, I need this photo. It's got to be somewhere in y'all's house. They didn't have it. I called my sister. She didn't have it. And so I'm going to try to paint this picture for you, because to me, this is, like, one of the best representations of what we're going to talk about. So the picture that I want to kind of lay before you, it's Christmas morning, okay? This is the picture that I was trying to find. Christmas morning, and it's of myself and my sister, and I'm probably, like, seven or eight, okay? Like, I'm pretty young. My sister's, like, 5 or 6. And in this picture, if you, like, zoom over to the side that my sister's on, we're opening up our quote-unquote Santa gifts. If I just spoiled that for some of you, like, I'm sorry, okay? It's time to grow up, right? But we're opening up our Santa gifts. And my sister, if you were just, like, focus on my sister, she's, like, pumped out of her mind. Like she, the gift that she's looking at, what she's focused on, my dad had built her like a life-size, like with his own two hands, this dollhouse. And she's just like, it's as tall as her. She's so excited for it. Like she's just pumped that she has this dollhouse, right? If you like zoom over to me, my expression is not so pumped, okay? Like I'm like, huh, like this is interesting. Because what I got to open was a trash can, okay? Like that's what my Santa gift was a trash can. Now granted, this trash can had the Houston Rockets logo on it, but it was still a trash can, okay? Like it had no sentimentality to it whatsoever. My dad didn't build that trash can with his own hands. They went out and bought it and thought, hey, this would be great. Like this would be great for him to open up on Christmas Day, a trash can. Like, come on, like really. So here's why I tell you that. Because to me, this is a great picture, a great representation of how we view marriage and singleness, right? Like we look at marriage and we're like, man, like that's the pinnacle when it comes to relationships. Like that's what I'm striving for. That's what I'm going for. That's what I want. Like you get to be with your best friend all of the time. You get to go on all these trips all the time. You get to have sex all the time. Like this is what I'm going for. This is what I want. And then you look at singleness and you're like, yeah, it's still a gift, but like, does it come with a receipt? Like, it's not the gift that I want. In fact, it's not like what I'm desiring. In fact, it really is not good at all. Like, I don't want this gift. Can I return it? Can I give it back? That's how we view a lot of times marriage and singleness, isn't it? And I think as like I said, as hilarious as that picture is, it's a perfect representation, I think, of how we view, especially these two, like relationships, marriage and singleness. So let me say this at the beginning of this series. We're gonna talk about a lot of not difficult subjects, but probably hard subjects for you to maybe latch onto. We're gonna talk about a lot of things that maybe like are hard for you to kind of reconcile when it comes to just like how God has designed things and what he wants for you. And everything that we discuss, I think really, really boils down to this statement. And we're gonna throw it up on the screen. And it's this: do we trust and believe that God has our best interests at heart? Like, do we trust that? Do we trust God and believe that he has our best interest in mind? Like, do we really believe that God knows best when it comes to you and I? Because, and here's the thing, this statement right here, this statement doesn't just pertain to like relationships, okay? It's gonna follow you for the rest of your life. But we're really focusing in on relationships and the things that we're gonna talk about over the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, if you include spring break, which we're not gonna meet. But this statement, do you trust God and believe that he has your best interest in mind? Because here's the thing, if you struggle with that, then no matter what I tell you about singleness and dating and marriage and sex, you're gonna push back on it. You're gonna wrestle with that and you're gonna struggle with it. But if you will settle in your mind, if you'll settle in your heart that God is infinite in his wisdom, that he knows you better than you know yourself because he created you, if you'll settle in your heart and in your mind that those things are true, you may not know everything else, but those things are true. God is infinite in his wisdom and he knows you better than you know yourself. If you'll settle those things in your heart and your mind, no matter what the culture tells you to believe, no matter what culture tells you like, hey, do this or do that, if it doesn't line up with what God says, you're gonna go, yeah, I'm gonna follow God on this. I may not understand it completely. I may even struggle with it in times, but he's infinite in his wisdom. He knows me better than I know myself. And because of that, I'm gonna listen to him and not what other people are telling me when it comes to these things. So tonight, like I said, I wanna look at probably this taboo word, this ugly word, singleness, right? Like, it's a word that we don't really like to talk about. It's a word that we try to, like, get away from as fast as we possibly can. And I want to talk about it. I was kind of thinking, like, what angle do I want to come at this from? And there's a lot of different ways that we can kind of approach this subject. But in my time with college students, I wanted to approach this from the one area that I think Christians and non-Christians wrestle with when it comes to singleness. And so we're going to have, like, one big statement for us to, like, take away. In fact, if I was to say, like, if you leave with anything at all, leave with what I'm about to tell you. Okay, so we're going to have one big statement, one big point, and then just kind of several sub-points that build on that. And that big statement is this: being single is a good thing. Being single is a good thing. And here's the reason that's going to be our focus tonight, because I've talked with so many college students who struggle with that, who struggle with the fact that singleness is a good thing. It's a good season to be in. Because, like, be honest with yourself. If you really believe that it was a good thing, why would you do everything in your power to try and get out of it as fast as possible? But singleness is a good thing. And I know, like I know who I'm talking to right now. I know that some of you are sitting there thinking in your heads right now, going, well, Tyler, like, it's really easy for you to say, like, you're married, okay? You have a wife, like, you have a spouse, like, your best friend. You get to travel with that person. You get to sleep with that person all the time. Wait till we talk about marriage, okay? Then we'll see how true that is. Like all of these things, like, you get to do. So don't sit there and tell me that singleness is a good thing, because for me, like, I'm stuck in no man's land. I can't even get a date. Like, singleness is not a good thing, okay? Like, there's no chance it's a good thing. But what I want you to leave with tonight, if you hear nothing else, and it's this: being single is good. Being single is good. You know, we watched that video of the college students, the tech students that we interviewed, and we're going to show some of those over the next few weeks as we talk about different subjects. And some of the answers are, like, really funny, especially the eye in the stripes. Obviously, that was the day of the Texas game, and unfortunately did not go how we wanted it to, but everyone was really excited about it. But some of those answers, like, they were really funny, but also, like, it made me sad at times, like, listening to how they would answer some of the questions that we had. Because if you heard, especially when we talked about, like, why is there so much negativity when it comes to being single, a lot of them kind of responded in the sense, or they responded by saying, well, singleness is boring, or, yeah, singleness is, like people struggle with being single because they struggle with being alone. And those answers to me are sad, because those answers or those statements, they're rooted in purpose. Like, those statements, singleness is boring, or people struggle being alone, those statements are rooted in purpose, and they're rooted in happiness. And no matter who you are in here, like, all of us are wired to want to be happy. We're all wired that way. In fact, like, no one in here is gonna go, yeah, you know what, when I grow up, man, I wanna be the most miserable person there can be. Like, no one wants that. All of us are wired for happiness. This is why, like for a lot of people, they try to find their happiness maybe in food, right? Or maybe they try to find their happiness in like how they relate to a certain sports team. Like, how many of you find your happiness in Texas Tech sports? Just raise your hand. Be honest. Yeah, yeah. When they do great, man, life's great. When they do bad, you don't want to be around me, okay? A lot of people try to find their happiness in sex. Like, I'm just going to try and sleep with the next person, the next person, the next person. Because all of these things are rooted in purpose. They're rooted in happiness, right? And when we hear things like singleness is boring, or I struggle being alone, statements like that, those statements happen When we begin to pursue happiness and purpose in a person or in a relationship and not in the one who created us. That's what happens when we start to have those statements, or when we hear people have those statements. Man, singleness is boring. Like I don't want to be single. Like, there's no fun in it. Or, man, I struggle being alone. I don't like being by myself. How many of you like to just sit in silence? Probably not a lot of us, right? One person. Okay, I love it. One person. Okay, that's great. Like, we struggle with that, though. And I think one of the reasons we struggle with that is because we fail to recognize our purpose and our happiness. Oftentimes, we're trying to find those things in all of these different things without remembering and realizing, hey, there's only one person it was ever meant to be found in, and it's our Creator. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I want to spend the rest of our time showing you how singleness is a good thing, okay? Because I don't just want to tell you that and you, like, take my word for it, right? Like, I want you to see from the scriptures, from the Bible, the Apostle Paul telling us that singleness is a good thing. Now, in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, he's talking to a bunch of new followers of Jesus who are learning what it looks like to follow Jesus. Probably like a lot of you, right? Like, what does it look like to follow Jesus? And in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he gets to this part in chapter 7 where he starts talking about, hey, I want you to see what it looks like to follow Jesus in different seasons of life. And specifically in the verses that we're going to read tonight, he's going to talk about, I want you to see what it looks like to follow Jesus when you're single. Okay, when you don't have someone that you're married to, when you're not attached to someone, what does it look like to follow Jesus as a single person? Okay, so look at verses 32 through 35. We're going to throw those up on the screen. But it says this. And this is the Apostle Paul talking. He says, I want you to be without concerns. The unmarried man is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But the married man is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and his interests are divided. The unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord so that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But the married woman is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. I am saying this for your own benefit, not to put a restraint on you, but to promote what is proper, and so that you may be devoted to the Lord without distraction. Okay? So how can being single be a good thing? Here's what I think the Apostle Paul would tell us from these verses, first and foremost. I think he would tell us this. Being single is a good thing because you can live undistracted when you're single. You can live undistracted while you are single. Now, Tyler, what are you talking about here? When I was in college, I went on mission trips to LA, Panama City Beach, Laos, Nicaragua, Belize. I went on like several different mission trips, okay? I would go to worship nights that started at like midnight, if you can believe it, okay? Like these were things that I did. If my friends called me and said, hey, we're meeting up in like 30 minutes, meet us at so-and-so, I would say, all right, I'm there. Like, I would drop what I was doing and I would go. The last mission trip that I've been on was about 6 years ago. And we took a group of college students to Belize. And the day that we left for Belize, Harvey got hand, foot, mouth. How many of you know what hand, foot, mouth is? If you don't, I got a picture for you. Harvey got hand, foot, mouth, okay? I know this is kind of graphic, but here's kind of what I want you to see with this. And that's a very... We had other photos that I could not show you, but that, like, he was miserable, okay? And this is the day that I'm leaving to go out of the country, not like just like a few hours away. Like, I'm going out of the country where my wife can't just like call me and say, hey, can you come home? The whole time I'm on this mission trip for 9 days, my focus wasn't necessarily going, man, like, how can we reach the Lord? Like, how can we reach the people of Belize for the kingdom of God? Like, are these college students doing like the work they need to be doing? My focus was almost entirely on, is Kylie surviving while I'm gone? Is she surviving while, you can take that down. Is she surviving while I'm away? Because here's the thing, like, hand, foot, mouth is a hard thing to deal with. Like, he was miserable. And here's, I think, what the Apostle Paul is getting at, especially in verse 35. I want you to see this. In verse 35, he says this: I'm saying this for your own benefit, not to put a restraint on you, but to promote what is proper so that you may be devoted to the Lord without distraction. Okay? Here's what I think the Apostle Paul is getting at. You can be in this season of life, you can be completely and totally devoted to what the Lord wants you to do without distractions, without things like pulling your focus or your mind in all of these different ways. And I think what Paul is saying here is he's saying, hey, when you get married and have a family, like, your natural response is gonna be for them to take priority in your life. And if they don't, then something's probably wrong with you. Your natural response is gonna be for them to be a priority, and your focus is gonna be on them. And basically, what he's saying here, and I love this about Paul, what he's saying is, he's saying, if I had to recruit an army to change the world for the kingdom of Jesus, I would do it with a bunch of single people. In fact, I think he would look at you and say, you're God's A-team. Like, you're the ones that God is calling to change the world, because you can be completely and utterly undistracted and devoted to what he's wanting you to do right now. If I'm gonna change the world, I'm doing it with you guys. I think that's what he's saying here. And here's my fear for y'all. My fear is that you will live this entire season, okay? And I say y'all because here's the thing. Whether you believe this or not, okay, the statistics show that almost over 80% of you in here are gonna get married at one time or another, okay? Like you're gonna find yourself married, okay? Almost every single person in here is gonna get married. But in this season, my fear for you is that you will live this entire season and never see that. You'll never see that being totally, fully, unselfishly, undistracted, and committed to what God is calling you to do is a blessing. And my fear is that you will never see that because you are so anxious about getting to the next one. That's my fear for you, is that you won't see this season as a blessing. But instead, you're so anxious and focused on trying to get to the next one. That's my concern and my fear for you, that you're racked with anxiety about how long this season is gonna last. And here's what I would tell you with that. Don't wish this season away. Like, don't. Let God grow you into a strong, steadfast, committed, firm believer who knows what they believe and is confident in what they believe, and then carry that into the next season. Let God do that in your life right now, and then watch what he does as you carry that into the next season. Don't worry about getting to the next season as fast as you possibly can. Live undistracted. And I think what this means practically is remove anything in your life right now that is distracting you from following Jesus. Or find balance with it. Find balance with it. Because, and Austin said this last week, but God's not this part-time agenda for us. He's not this checklist that we just kind of check off and go about our day, right? No. He's someone that we need to be fully and utterly devoted to and committed to, and who really controls our life. How many of you remember COVID? Which is a stupid question to ask, right? Like everyone in here, okay? Everyone remembers COVID? Yeah, there was a lot of like scary things about that season, okay? For probably a lot of us. But I think one of the really amazing things about that season is it showed us what it looked like to live, like, especially as Christians, like fully undistracted lives when it came to following Jesus. Because all of our things, all of the things that were pulling our attention in different ways were just kind of like ripped from us, right? But how many of us wasted that season? Like, if I'm being honest with myself, there were probably moments that I did. But being single is a good thing because you can live undistracted. The next thing that I want to tell you is this. Being single is a good thing because you can be free from anxiety when you're single. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that you won't be anxious or that you won't have worries. Okay? But here's what I think the Apostle Paul is getting at. You don't have the worries that I have. You don't have the worries that some of the other married couples in our ministry have, or some of the married couples that you meet on a Sunday have. You don't have those worries, right? Look at verses 32 through 34. He says, I want you to be without concerns. Or another way to put that is this. I want you to live without anxiety, right? Like, I don't want you to be anxious. The unmarried man is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But the married man is concerned, or he's anxious about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. And his interests are divided. The unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord so that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But the married woman is concerned or anxious about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Like, if I could just tell you, just this past week alone, all of the things that I found myself concerned or anxious about or worried about when it came to my wife, my kids, work, my kids in school, like, is Harvey eating enough? Is he growing at the rate that we want him to grow? Like all of these things that we found ourselves worrying about just this past week. And ultimately going, okay, God, like this is not good for me. I'm gonna have to lay these at your feet and just trust you with them. But all of these different anxieties and concerns, and here's the thing, none of them really concerned me. But for you, while you may find yourself like with worries and anxieties, your focus is primarily you. It's primary. Yeah, you may have some focuses on some other people around you, but in this stage of life, your focus is primarily you, and that's not a bad thing. And so the anxieties or the worries that you have, while I'm not like minimizing those things, you don't have the ones that I have where I'm having to worry about the well-being and the benefit of my family, the people that I'm surrounded by and that I'm concerned with and that I'm constantly thinking about. And you may go, okay, yeah, that's true, but I want that distraction. Like, I want the worries that you have. And maybe you do, right? But in all seriousness, God may be looking at you going, you're not ready for it. Like, you might want that, but you're not ready for it. You can't handle it. You're not ready for those distractions. You're not ready for those worries or those anxieties that come with a family. Here's the one thing that I know about God. He loves to make us look more like Jesus every single day. But some of you are so focused on getting out of this season that you fail to see what he's trying to do in you right now. He's trying to do some things in you right now, and you just don't see those because you're trying to go, okay, God, but like, when's that person gonna come into my life that I can marry? Like, that's what I'm focused on. That's what I really wanna get to. God is trying to do something in you right now. Just watch and look at that and focus on that. And then the next thing I want to tell you is this. Being single is good because you can be totally kingdom focused. You can be totally kingdom focused. You know what I find interesting about 1 Corinthians 7 when we read it? And I would encourage you, like later on, maybe this week, like just read 1 Corinthians 7. But Paul kind of makes marriage out to be like this problematic plan B for kingdom work. He's kind of like, hey, marry if you must, okay? Like get married if you really have to. But here's the thing, joining yourself to another sinner in this world does not make following Jesus easier. He kind of makes it out to be like this problematic plan B to kingdom work. And instead says, hey, the season that you're in, that's the ultimate season when it comes to doing kingdom work. Because like we said, you can be undistracted in following Jesus. And I think what he's saying here is he's saying you can be solely focused on kingdom work. And there's nothing more fulfilling than that. Don't live your lives like you're in this holding pattern. Like, God, I'm ready. Like, when are you gonna take me? Like don't live your life like you're living in this holding pattern, just waiting for marriage to get here. You can live sent right now. We say that every week, right? Like we come up here and we say that every week, like, hey, you're sent. And that's not just like a catchy phrase that we tag on to like the end of the service, like, hey, live sent, right? That's a purpose statement. You have purpose here in Lubbock, Texas. You have purpose. You are sent this week. Live in it. I want to end tonight by giving you some like really practical ways. There's a book I read, and one of the ways it talks about this season of life of singleness is single, satisfied, and sent, okay? How can you live single, satisfied, and sent? What are some practical ways that you can do that? And the first thing I would tell you is this. In this season, learn to serve. Learn to serve, okay? And here's why I tell you that. When I like survey Christians today, especially Christian college students in Lubbock, Texas, we see a lot of selfishness, don't we? Like we see a lot of Christians who are selfish in the way they operate. But in Mark chapter 10, one of the things that Jesus talks about is he talks about how greatness for you and for myself is gonna come in the form of servanthood, serving others. And for me, when I got married, you wanna know one of the things marriage did for me? Is it highlighted pretty fast how selfish of a person I was. It didn't like take that away from me. It highlighted pretty fast, like, Tyler, you're a very selfish person. And so here's my challenge for you. Learn what it looks like right now to be a servant. Learn what it looks like to serve. I wish that I would have spent time in my singleness learning to serve better. So learn to serve in your church. Learn to serve your friends. Be the person that's always willing to go the extra mile for someone. Learn to do that because that'll go a long way into the next season of life. Learn to serve. The next thing that I would tell you is this. Be present where you're at. Be present where you're at. And I think this is probably gonna be the hardest one for a lot of us because we want, like we want to look forward. We want to go, okay, God, what does the next season look like? I'm getting ready to graduate. Like it's getting really, really close and there's no prospects so far. Like what does that look like for me? Be present where you are at. God has placed you in this world so that others might know his name. And you know what? You're at Texas Tech, you're at LCU, you're at South Plains, and it's not an accident. It's not an accident that you are here. It's not random that you sit by the people that you sit by. in class. You didn't just choose that. Like, it didn't just happen by accident. Be present where you're at. Listen to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And I love this passage. It's such a cool passage. Verses 26 through 27. I don't know if we have it on there or not. But Acts 17, 26 through 27 says this. From one man, he has made every nationality to live over the whole earth and has determined their appointed times and the boundaries of where they live. He's talking about God here. From one man, Adam, God has determined every single person's life, where they'll live, the boundaries they'll be in, the things that they're gonna do. And in verse 27, he did this so that they might seek God and perhaps they might reach out and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. God has determined your life, your home, your school, for the sole reason for you to lead others to do the same. That's why he has you where he has you. Yes, get that degree. Yes, be the best student you can possibly be. Work hard, study hard, but also remember your purpose. Your purpose here is ultimately to glorify God and to show that to others. Every morning when I drive my kids to school and we pray, and the one thing that we pray, and I pray this to like intentionally remind them, God, help Harvey, help Heidi, help Holland, show others that Jesus loves them. Something really simple, something they can latch onto, but they can see that they have purpose in their schools. And so my prayer for you is that you would be present where you're at so that you could see God has a purpose for you here. And it's to show other people that Jesus loves them and he cares for them. So be present where you are at right now. The next thing that I would tell you is this. Be spontaneous, okay? Be spontaneous. What do I mean by that? You know what hinders spontaneity? You know what hinders it? Marriage. Like, being completely honest. Like, I can't just like get up and go do whatever I want, whenever I want, with whoever I want, because I'm married now. Like, marriage hinders spontaneity. And so my challenge for you is to be spontaneous. Doing things on a whim. One of your greatest spiritual gifts as someone who is single right now is the word yes. That's one of your greatest gifts that you have is the word yes. Yes to a random coffee meetup. Yes to a concert with friends. Yes to that mission trip that looks really, really pricey, but I'm gonna trust God and I'm gonna go. Yes to those things. Be willing to say yes, even in those moments that you may not feel like it. Because right now you can. Right now God has given the ability to do that. And then the last thing I would tell you is this, do the radical. Do the radical. Just as you can be spontaneous, you can also say yes to things and do things that require more of you than I can because I have a family. Do the radical. Dream, okay? Like, God has you here for a purpose and a reason, and so dream. God, how can I reach people on this campus for you? What are some ways that I can do that? Maybe it's mentoring and discipling someone that's younger than you, right? Maybe he's calling you to start, like, some outreach on campus, and you don't really know what that looks like, and it's a little scary to take that step, but maybe he's calling you to do that. Bring people into the dream with you and start dreaming together. Do something that requires a little bit more of you in this season. Invite people into that dream and ask, how can we do these things together? Do the radical. You want to know how we're going to reach people for Jesus on the campus of Texas Tech or LCU or South Plains? It's going to start with you. We can go out there every single week. I can go out there every single week, every single day, right? It's saying in the free speech circle, like Brother Jed, and yell at people and tell them they're going to hell. That's going to get nowhere. You know who's going to be able to reach people? You are. Because you have friends that don't know Jesus. You have roommates that may not know Jesus. And God has placed you here for a purpose and a reason. In this season of life, you can live totally undistracted and pursue that purpose with all that you have. So let's land the plane together. The band's going to come back up. You see, the mission that God has given us is so very clear. Like, it's so very clear, but we know this. Like, distractions are everywhere. Like, they're all over the place. And I think tonight is an opportunity for you to refocus your priorities, I think. Tonight's an opportunity for you to refocus your life and think, okay, where do they need to be focused while I'm in this season? I tell people all the time, like, one of the reasons I love college ministry so much is because this stage of life, what you can do for Jesus is limitless. Like, there's no limit to what you guys can do for the kingdom of God. You're world changers. And if we reach college students, I truly believe this, if we reach college students, you'll see not only lives change, you'll see families change, you'll see communities change, you'll see our world changed, because that's who you are. You're a world changer. And you may not believe that right now, but I'm telling you, I believe it. And I see that in you. And I know that if you aren't careful, it's gonna be really, really easy to look past this season into the next and go, how fast can I get there? And that's not what God wants for you. He's got some amazing things right now for you. And so live undistracted. Trust him with all that you have.